We are on. Go ahead.
Okay, this is the regular meeting of the Overton Town Planning and Zoning Commission. It's Wednesday, January 28th, 2026. Initially, we'll call this meeting to order. We've got an agenda before us. I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Also, we've got minutes from the meeting in November. I've looked over them.
I'll make a motion to approve last meeting's minutes.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes from November 26, 2025. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. First item of business, consider recommending for approval / denial a conditional use permit for Marlene Cohen at 1750 South State Street in Orderville for use of the home as a vacation rental. And Angie Cox is representing Marlene Cohen. Angie?
Yes.
Anything you want to tell us about it?
She's been doing it for years. She's an amazing lady, lives in California. I take care of it for her while she's, you know, so far away. She just lapsed her license, so she's trying to get everything up and going again.
Okay, it's a very complete application, more complete than most.
She's very thorough.
That's great.
The only thing that it is lacking is the access permit from UDOT.
Okay.
She was kind of late in getting that in.
Yeah.
So I think that probably I would entertain a motion to table this until next month, until we get that. I just spoke to her yesterday. It was a little confusing filling the form out online as to what was what. So I think we've got that straightened out.
Yeah, she said that they, let's see.
Has she met with them yet?
She said, she just sent me a text, says, I submitted the pre-meeting form for the access permit yesterday, but there is a second part.
Okay,
so.
Right. Where they actually talk to her, okay, and review it.
Okay.
And what they will do when they approve it, then they will email her a form.
Okay,
a permit, actually. So you'll need to copy that and bring that.
Oh, okay, so that needs to be filed.
That has to be in place before we can actually approve it, because it's one of the requirements to approve.
Gotcha.
Okay, so we will be delayed a month on that.
Can I make a motion to table it?
To what?
To table it.
Table it.
Table it until next week next month.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to table this until next month. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. We will do that. It generally is not a problem getting that. Okay, UDOT.
Tim Hoyt just went through that, and he was able to get it pretty quick. So as long as he reaches out and gets a hold of them, they should get a hold of her pretty quick.
Yeah. When it's something that simple, it's fairly quick.
Okay. So then next month, can I be on the agenda automatically?
Yes. You call and make sure you're on the agenda. We should put it on automatically. We could make a note of that, but verify it.
Okay.
Because sometimes things get forgotten.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I can bring the form in.
Bring the permit with you.
Oh,
yeah.
Next month.
Get it to the office ahead of time.
Yeah.
You know, and then it'll be on file. That's all we need to see.
Okay.
Okay. I don't see that being any kind of a problem.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Next item, number two, discuss, consider for approval a site plan for parcel 0-4-55-Annex, Luke Searcy. He's here on Zoom for Offland Zion. Luke, you want to explain a little bit what you're proposing?
Yeah, happy to. First off, I just want to apologize for not being there in person. I wanted to and planned to. Unfortunately, the weather over here in Nashville did not quite allow me to leave our house. But nonetheless, wanted to thank y'all for letting us, you know, hop on this Zoom and facilitating that and being able to present virtually. To give y'all, you know, a high-level 30,000-foot view of Upland. Upland Hotels, you know, we have one over in Escalante, Utah, or formerly called Yonder, but Upland is an outdoor-oriented boutique hotel company. And so what exactly does outdoor-oriented boutique hotel mean? The best way I would describe it is that it feels and is operated like a hotel, except some people walk down a trail to their room. Some people have a hotel room. We provide a lot of accommodation types to really, you know, deconstruct that hotel and help people, you know, reconnect with nature. That's the main goal. And then, you know, also I always say that Upland is a base camp. We're not a resort that somebody checks in at 4 p.m. on Friday and stays on property the whole weekend and leaves on Sunday. We're a base camp. We know we're not the destination. The destination is the great outdoors or, you know, whatever hike, whatever site, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we want to provide a great experience for our guests from 6 p.m. to 8 a.m. during the day. Get off the property, go do what you came to do, enjoy the outdoors, and then come back, relax, and recharge for another day outside. So to talk about this project specifically, it is located, you know, down south of town, just north of the Maynard Dixon Living Museum. It is about 24 acres, and what we have planned and currently drawn, it's a conceptual, very preliminary plan. It includes 75 hotel rooms that are largely, you know, three categories of rooms. We have 19 standalone rooms, we have 7 four-room buildings, and then we have one main lodge that's going to have 28, you know, more traditional attached hotel rooms. Those will range from 325 to 400 square feet. And then that main lodge area will also have a pool and hot tub, a restaurant space that's open to the public, and an outdoor movie screen. There are 112 parking spaces and then about 2,000 square feet of backup house. As y'all can see in the site plan, we're largely concentrating the development to the eastern portion of the site, which allows us to conserve about 60% or 14-15 acres of the land, and to let that remain undisturbed. And that is largely on the western and northwestern section. I feel like I've touched on the high points, and happy to answer any questions, go through any plans that y'all have. Me and Blake will, you know, we're at a conceptual stage right now, so there might be some questions that we can't answer, but obviously before we submit for a final permit, we'll get every question answered, every, you know, I dotted, T crossed.
Any questions from the commission?
How much water usage do you think this whole facility is going to take up?
I candidly do not have an idea. Blake, can you give any insight on that?
No, I don't have an estimate on that.
We've talked to the water department, though, and in that conversation, it sounded like water was, you know, not going to be an issue. But I don't know the exact quantities. I'm sorry.
We did do some investigation into that existing line, talking with the water district to ensure the flow and pressure would be adequate. And we deemed that on a preliminary level to be sufficient, but we would need to finalize that design.
Okay. The only thing I worry about is if this large facility gets built on the south end of town, it's going to take a lot of the water from Waterville area, and it's going to potentially affect the townsfolk on this end. So I just want to know exactly how much, you know, you guys are planning on moving water that way. I see you've got a couple of retention ponds set up in this schematic. I don't know how large do you suspect those to be, and how much water do you think those are going to be able to hold and maintain?
Those ponds are primarily in place to mitigate the off-site flow of stormwater. Our goal is to not release more water off the site after development than exists today. And so those are in place to slow the flow during a rain event.
Okay.
And then in terms of the water flow and full sweep plan, we haven't gotten there yet. Still, conceptual at the site plan phase.
Okay.
Where is the outdoor theater located? I'm looking at this plot plan. Hotel. Is it in the hotel, behind the hotel?
So the hotel,
do you want to share your screen?
Yeah, I can do that.
Oh, I see it. Okay, I see it in the close up of the hotel.
Let's see here. Can you all see my screen?
Okay, so then the screen is actually going to be facing the hotel building.
Yes, sir. Yeah, so screen here, view looking this way. Yes, projector would be, call it here, projecting that way.
Typically.
And then one thing that we do is, dark sky is just something that's very important to us and that we implement in all of our properties. And so, you hear outdoor movie screen and you think of a lot of light. We've figured out how to shield them on the sides and top. Just to absolutely mitigate any, excess light that's unnecessary. So that's another kind of component to the screen that I just wanted to mention.
Okay. How late do you what time do the movies generally end?
That's a good question. So it's all dependent on a couple of things. So, right, it's sunset. So, what time is the sunset? And then, in the summer during long days, we have quiet hours starting at 10 p.m., so it doesn't make sense to start a movie that's an hour, Indiana Jones, it's an hour 45, starting at 9 p.m. It's really, I would say, weather and sunset dependent. We have, like I said, quiet hours start at 10 p.m., and so any movie that will be played would be done, if there is a movie played, would be done by then.
Okay.
Do you guys have any plans for a phase two, or is this the complete development?
This is the complete development.
What's your guys' timeline on this? How long do you think it's going to take to start, get moving, get going, if everything moves forward with this meeting and the town council meeting?
Yeah. The next steps would be, getting into the design and in true engineering of every building, every foundation, water usage, every utility. And so, Blake, what would you say the timeline of that would be?
6 to 9 months.
Yeah, 6 to 9 months. We're still working with UDOT in Garkane, and so making sure that we're allowing acceptable times for that, for those applications and processes. I would say, 9 months, and then that would get us ready to submit for a permit.
Okay. Are you guys going to be using local contractors in the area? Or are you guys going to be contracting out of bigger cities like Cedar City, St. George, Page?
So I candidly, we don't have a contractor selected right now. At the end of the day, our preference is to always hire local for everything, whether that be the contractor or the person working the front desk. So I would say our absolute intention would be to hire local. I would love to hear or be connected with some contractors if y'all know of any. And then, you know, ultimately, like I said, that is our preference and our intention. We don't have somebody selected right now.
Fair enough.
What are we voting on tonight? Where are we voting?
This is a discussion.
It is a vote because when commercial people come in to develop something, we follow the process that's outlined in the subdivision ordinance, even though this is not a subdivision. The language at the beginning of the subdivision, what did you call that, Chris? It's
commercial lodging building.
The purposes and intents of the ordinance. It mentions development separate from subdivisions. And so the question is this a permitted use? This is zoned commercial or an unpermitted use, not allowed. That's what we're voting on. These guys are not going to move forward unless they have the agreement from the town that they can build this on that lot.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. So the question is a hotel, theater, motel, restaurant in the list of permitted uses in a commercial zone?
You know, we used to have a separate section on lodging.
It starts on page.
Each commercial, there's the commercial lodging.
Page 198.
A whole section prior to the new ordinances about the commercial lodging developments.
Yeah. Not that I'm aware of.
You said it was 198?
198.
And then it looked like there's multiple spots for like where a fire truck could turn around. The only one that might be questionable is that like one spurs at the very like end. That like cuts off of that main roof area.
Yeah. What we have to understand
how long is that?
In this concept plan is that this is a concept. Is it allowed or is it not allowed? The building permit and all of the things associated with that will come at a later time.
Well, I know, but wouldn't that make or break something if you knew?
Well, they haven't annotated that they will have a turnaround. It's questioning.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
They will have to do whatever has to be done to get the building permit.
Perfect.
Okay. Including whatever needs to be done to the highway to satisfy UDOT.
Right.
That's all in the process.
Like they had multiple anyways, so I didn't even know if they would even need another one for like down here. I was just, that was
yeah.
My question was just how far is that one and is that even an issue?
Yeah, being a commercial development, this would have to go through URL before the permit would be issued. Because fire is one of the things that has to be addressed.
And building density?
As far as water use, that the town's going to determine that. They'll get a will serve letter from the town, from the sewer, from the fire, the
so
power.
And on that, I know that I think Mayor's brought this up, but this is probably more for them than for us, but when hooking into the sewer, that would be something that they'd want to go through Western King County sewer district.
And they'll have to get a will serve letter from them and do whatever it is that they need to do to hook in.
I think we've missed that on a couple of different projects that
could have done.
We were hoping to correct as we continue forward.
Yes. Yes.
So there's only one entrance in and out of this property that you guys are going to utilize?
Yes. Yeah. So more than likely, from the fire emergency perspective, I mean, Blake, correct me if I'm wrong, but I assume we're looking at some hydrants throughout the property, and then, you know, of course, for the main lodge, more than likely sprinkling that, any multi-unit buildings sprinkling. And then I don't know the hose length maximum. But But we, we have all the building locations have been placed with the max hose length in mind and dead end turnaround for fire trucks for the hammerheads.
Sweet. I was going to say, because I noticed there was like already a couple around like the lodge and the restaurant places like that that looked like they were good to go anyway, so perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks to me like the end of every one of those spurs has got a turnaround for a fire truck. Any more discussion from the members?
No, I mean,
our code says that is a permitted use, so I mean.
So are we ready to, I'm ready to take a motion to approve the concept plan of Offland Zion.
So if this is a concept, then they're going to have to come back to another meeting with the engineer drawings and everything.
Yes.
And then they'll have voted on again.
They'll have to go. What will be voted on again is the zoning. Okay. I'm going to have them come back to us again for the zoning permit, where we'll look at the thing and make sure they have adequate parking for the facility and all that according to what's in our zoning book.
Okay.
Parking, fire turnarounds, that sort of thing, we will review. Also, they'll have to present all of their will serve letters, the letter from UDOT, all of that stuff will come to us for review and future approval.
I guess this is mostly about the plan.
That's all I can remember.
I would make a motion to approve the site plan for now.
I guess I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the concept plan as presented by Offland Zion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay. Do you need anything else from us?
Okay.
Yeah, what it fits our zoning parameters. You're free to go.
Okay, so I'll stick around.
Okay, great. So it is approved.
As a concept.
Yeah, right. You can't go start building it.
No, we know that this is the start of the long process. Discussion with you all. No shovel in the ground tomorrow, I promise.
Right. This is what you need to proceed on the project.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you all for reviewing and obviously approving the concept plan.
Okay.
Absolutely. I've seen your guys' facility over in Escalante. I used to guide in that area, and so I've seen your Loveland Escalante area just north of Bryce Canyon. It looks good.
Yeah.
I like the classic car driving style that you guys have set up over there. It's unique.
I appreciate that. That means a lot, and we're excited about this project. Very excited about working in Orderville. I think it's just such a beautiful piece of land to hopefully do something unique on.
Very cool.
Okay. Item number 3.
This is Tony.
Discuss, consider date and time change of meetings. Tony Collins, Mr. Collins.
So, this is pretty self-explanatory, but just recently I've been speaking to Riley Anderson, new member on our board, Brianna, and Shanna, and they're all discussing potential moving of the city council time and date for a Monday at 5:30. And I would propose that we match that and do it on, if they choose to do the first Monday of the month, I say we do the last Monday of the month and do it at 5:30 just like them and stick to that rather than being here on Wednesdays. And the reason behind that is Wednesdays are difficult for not everybody to be here, but I think I've been on the Planning and Zoning Board for about a year now, and I only have been to like 2 meetings where everybody's been here. And I think Mondays at 5:30 are going to be a little bit easier. I think Mondays are going to make it a little more open for people to show up at 5:30, be done by 6:30, and then have their family home evening at 7.
That's what they're proposing, is that early, 5:30?
Yes.
As well?
That's what Shanda's discussing. She hasn't put anything through with the city council yet. She's discussing that with them.
I would suggest that we match that on the last Monday of the month and give everybody the opportunity to be here. I think Mondays are going to make it a little bit more open and give people availability.
I just feel, I'm fine moving any day if it helps other people, I don't care. 5:30 seems a little early, like if people have normal jobs and trying to make
absolutely. I was late today because of my job, but I think if we can plan for a Monday, people can plan on a Monday at 5:30. They're planning to be home early for family home evenings. I can assume that they can be there 30 minutes to an hour earlier for this meeting.
I guess it depends on the person.
I say Saturday nights.
As long as there's whiskey.
I'll tell you what, let's not have whiskey and do it Sunday after church.
I'll be a little hungover, but I can be there. I think I can make that.
That's you will. You heard me, I'll be here.
Okay.
And this is just a discussion.
It sounds like it's an ongoing discussion. Let's see what town council does. Mondays probably will be hard for me. It will be hard for a few others. But anyway.
I just had spoken to a couple of people who recently have said Wednesdays are difficult just because of this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
And there's always something going
Thursdays?
On Wednesdays.
What about Thursdays? Are they any different than Wednesdays? Because we used to have this on Thursdays. But yeah. I had a conflict on Thursday, so we moved it to Wednesday for my sake. Are Thursdays just as bad as Wednesdays?
To be honest with you, I have no kids in school, so I have no idea what the school looks like as far as after-school activities. Alex would be a great candidate to answer.
Or my wife would probably be better.
Even better. Vanessa would
like, be. I'm missing events tonight to be here at school. Yeah. But I don't know if they're usually on Thursdays or Wednesdays, or to be honest. I get notified 10 minutes before.
You and I don't really keep track of that.
Well, and there's a lot of holidays on Mondays that people will have off. And that'll give us an opportunity to have more people here at these meetings.
On holidays?
Double the pay. Holiday pay. What are you talking about? I'm into that.
Let's not say double.
All right, well, I guess we don't have to make any choices now.
It was just a discussion item, and I figured to bring it up to you guys before the town council made their decision. So that
In the end, they pick our meeting days now, the town council.
Well, no.
No.
Not necessarily. I guess they can. Well, I don't know that it's really
from what
stated.
I understood with Brianna.
Because I remember that one town council meeting, they voted on our dates and times.
They did. That's just so that the secretaries could
post it
and have an easier time publishing it. People could look on the website and see when the meetings were. That's why that was done.
From my end, whatever's better for the people.
Fair enough. Another thing that might bring that to a lighter side is it would give everybody the weekend to look at the agenda. Brianna can get everything filed and set up on Friday and get it posted on the drive for everybody to look at through the weekend. So I know during the week things get mixed up and lost, but over the weekend you have some time to look through emails, look through drives, realize we have a meeting on Monday. I should look at the drive and go over everything. So that way we're a little bit more informed on top of that.
I think Connect Cities is at 3:30.
Really?
Yeah.
That's how we keep it small and quick.
What day?
On Monday? You do it at like 2 p.m.
1 o'clock. Just right after lunch. Nobody wants to be here.
I'm fine with it at 3:30.
Wow. Me too, because then I don't have to read work.
I know. Maybe that's why they do that.
Just an item to discuss, something to think about and mull over until next month. Maybe something we can decide next
month. Let's consider it and see what town council decides. And interesting, Kanab does it at 3:30.
I think it's great.
That's a concept. Yeah.
Get it done early.
Okay. Final item. No, it's not the final item.
No.
Public Meetings Act training video. Have you got this for us, Chris?
Yep. We're going to watch this right now?
Yes.
How long is this?
About 8 minutes. An hour and a half.
You didn't say one when we watched.
Is there any snacks?
And I didn't bring cookies.
Nothing?
Christmas.
There were snacks. Look.
No, I say we table this.
Well, I did bring some snacks.
Do you need salt?
I already messed with all
this. It's the state of Montana. Sure, government actions and preparations are being conducted. Before we continue, keep in mind that this video is an overview and exceptions may exist based on your entity type. We focus on local government, not state requirements. When in doubt, read the law and consult with your legal counsel. So what's considered an open and public meeting? It's when a public body's quorum, also known as a simple majority, meets to discuss or act upon government business. It includes the meetings sometimes referred to as workshops or executive sessions. Regular meetings, public hearings, electronic meetings, and emergency meetings are all open public meetings. Open public meetings don't include chance or social meetings. A public hearing is a type of open public meeting where citizens have a reasonable opportunity to speak. Public hearings happen when a government adopts a budget, imposes or increases taxes or fees, or transfers money from an enterprise fund. These meetings have extra notice and posting requirements and won't be addressed in this video. An electronic meeting is a type of open and public meeting that's convened electronically, such as via phone and the internet. Remember, the governing body must adopt a resolution, rule, or ordinance allowing and governing electronic meetings. OPMA adds additional requirements, too. An emergency meeting may be held to discuss an urgent matter due to unforeseen circumstances. In order to hold a meeting, the best notice that's feasible is provided of the time, location, and topics to be considered. An attempt is made to contact all governing body members, and the governing body majority approves the meeting. An open and public meeting may be closed to discuss any of the following: the person's character, competence, or health, collective bargaining, litigation, certain real property transactions, including any form of a water right or water shares with specific restrictions, security personnel, devices, or systems deployment, investigations of criminal misconduct, and private or protected information for the Utah Procurement Code, including trade secrets. A closed meeting may be held only if a quorum is present and the meeting was properly noticed. Two-thirds of the governing body present at the meeting need to vote yes to close a meeting. Quick math lesson. 2 divided by 3 equals 66.7%. Let's say your governing body has 5 members present at the meeting. If 3 out of 5 members vote yes, that equals 60%, which is not equal or greater than 66.7%.
Sorry that we just did
this. Which means we're 1 member short and would need 4 out of 5 members to vote yes. During a closed meeting, a governing body
can't interview someone in line for a closed meeting position.
Discuss discuss the character, competence, or health of the person whose name was submitted for consideration of the term vacancy or temporary absence. Approve any ordinance, resolution, rule, regulation, contract, or appointment. Or take a vote, unless it's a vote on a motion to end the closed portion of the meeting and return to an open meeting. When a governing body closes a meeting, the following must be publicly announced and entered into the minutes of the open meeting in which the closed meeting was approved. The reason or reasons for holding the closed meeting, the location where the closed meeting will be held, and the vote of each member of the governing body either for or against the motion to close the meeting. If a closed meeting is discussing a person's character, competence, or health, or security personnel, devices, or systems deployment, or several other exceptions, mostly related to state bodies or project entities, no recording or minutes are required. However, the presiding member needs to sign a sworn written statement stating such. If the closed meeting is held for any other reason, a recording must be made, which includes date, time, and place of the meeting, names of members present and absent, and names of all others, except where disclosure would infringe on the confidentiality necessary to fulfill the original purpose of closing the meeting. Regular open and public meetings require 24 hours notice. The public notice includes the meeting, agenda, date, time, and place. Public meeting agendas need to include reasonably specified topics to be considered, with each topic listed under a separate agenda item on the meeting agenda. The governing body may not consider a topic in an open meeting that wasn't on the agenda. If a new topic not on the agenda is raised by the public during an open meeting, the governing body may discuss the topic. However, final action may not be taken on the new topic during that meeting. Additionally, entities holding regular meetings scheduled in advance over the course of the year need to provide annual notice of the entire year's meeting schedule. The notice must include date, time, and place for each meeting.
Notice is posted on the public body's website, in a public location, such as the location where the meeting will be held, and on Utah's public notice website in accordance with Utah Code 63G-30-102.
Typically, posting on the public notice website is done by the records officer, recorder, or clerk. However, if it's the governing body's responsibility to ensure notice is provided. State Archives has prepared a training manual and a quick guide for owners and posters, as well as training videos that can be accessed at their website, archives.utah.gov. Written minutes and a recording are kept of all open meetings, with few exceptions. Written minutes include the date, time, and place of the meeting, the names of members present and absent, the substance of all matters, names of citizens providing comments, the substance of the comments provided, any information a body member requests be entered into the minutes or recording, and a record by individual member of each vote taken. A body with elected members must record each vote in list format by category for each action taken by a member, including yes votes, no votes, and absent members next to each member's name. A recording must be a complete and unedited record of all open portions of the meeting from beginning to end, and be labeled with the meeting date, time, and place. All or any part of an open meeting may be independently recorded by any person in attendance if the recording does not interfere with the conduct of the meeting. Pending minutes means written minutes of an open meeting in draft form subject to change before being approved by the public body of the open meeting. Pending minutes must contain a clear indication, such as a draft or pending watermark, that the governing body hasn't yet approved the minutes and that the minutes are subject to change until the public body approves them. Approved minutes means written minutes of an open meeting approved by the public body that held the open meeting. Entities must establish and implement procedures for the public body's approval of written minutes. Public meeting pending minutes, approved minutes, and recordings are public records under grant. Any individual who publicly presents information relating to an item on the public body's meeting agenda must provide a copy of the information for inclusion in the record. Make pending minutes available to the public within 30 days. Within 3 business days after approving written minutes of an open meeting, make approved minutes and any public materials available at the Utah Public Notice website, the entity's primary office, and the entity's website. Within 3 business days after holding an open meeting, make an audio recording of the open meeting available to the public for listening.
Much change from the last one of those? Because I've seen that before.
We have to see that every year.
Yeah, we did that last year. But did they change anything from that one to the new one?
I don't think so.
No?
I didn't think so. You just have to watch it again.
Yeah. That's okay. I can do that.
We are also...
That was the same one we watched.
The what? The quiz?
The quiz.
You know what? I barely passed the quiz.
Oh.
I thought it was fine if somebody took me to lunch that was doing the development. All right, let's do the quiz.
A majority of governing board members attend the same church and may be in the same room at the same time. What should they do? A, have some governing body members find a different church. Yes. B, make sure enough governing body members will not attend the same week. C, provide a notice of public meeting. D, nothing. This falls within the chance of social meeting exception.
B seems pretty logical, however.
I think we all need to start going to different churches.
I think it's C.
I'm going to say C. I'm saying C.
It's D.
It's
D.
It's
D.
It's fine. It's a
small town in one church.
It's a church.
We're not doing anything.
Yeah.
That's right, man.
You can't risk hell.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's got to be.
You know, we have this conflict of interest thing. If knowing somebody is a conflict of interest, it would just shut us down.
Yeah.
True.
In a small town.
Question 2. All or part of an open meeting may be independently recorded by any person in attendance if the recording does not interfere with the conduct of the meeting.
Shepherd Sean.
True. I think that's okay.
He's always recording.
Yeah. True. Nice. Let's check. Correct.
Refreshing.
Oh my gosh, how many of these do we have to answer?
Two more.
Five. There's five.
Two more.
I remember one meeting that got recorded by somebody.
If a new topic not on the agenda is raised by the public during an open meeting, the governing body may discuss the topic. However, final action may not be taken on the new topic during the meeting.
True.
That's correct. Multiple choice. Which of the following is not a justification for closing the meeting? to discuss the character, competence, or health of an individual, to hold investigative procedures regarding allegations of criminal misconduct, to interview a person applying to fill an elected position, to discuss pending or reasonably imminent litigation.
D.
C.
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 I think it's C too.
I believe it's C.
Okay.
That's why I just wrote a chance.
Well, there's only five, you know.
No, when you're interviewing for a job for the candidate to open.
Is that open? Okay. Nobody's ever interviewed.
That's because everybody's been appointed.
Yes.
When a public body quorum, also known as a simple majority, meets to discuss or act upon governing business, it is considered a public meeting. True or false?
It's true.
True.
True. Good job. We got 100%.
Oh, good job.
Amazing.
Thanks for leaving us.
Means we were paying attention.
You guys got 100%.
Yeah.
True.
And you got one, too. 100% of that 100% is your 100%.
Okay. Oh. Even though I disagreed, so nice. I went along with you.
That's, what I'm sorry. That, so.
That's why it's a committee and not,
yes.
Not an individual.
Yeah.
Commission.
All right. End of that one. Item number 5, discuss appoint Planning and Zoning Commission Chair, Vice Chair, and Secretary.
I nominate Ed Bolan to be the Chair of the Planning and Zoning Committee.
I nominate Alex Pavlidis to be the Chair.
Well, you know, I second that one.
I don't second
it. He doesn't second it.
You second it.
So now you...
Oh, that's right. I'm no longer the Chair because we're appointing a Chair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well... I think you're the chair until it gets appointed, right?
Yeah.
Can the chair not
you're
second?
You're the chair until you're the chair.
I think
until something else happens.
Until we vote.
It defaults still to you since you were the chair.
Okay.
Can the chair not second?
Since the chair doesn't second, do they?
I think so.
I'll second their goal to be an appointed members. Chair of the Planning Commission.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Oh, thank God.
I appoint Alex. I think we should appoint Alex as the vice chair.
Why don't you just nominate him?
Nominated.
Okay.
Nominated.
I'll second that nomination. All in favor of Alex Pavlidis being the appointed vice chair?
Aye.
Nay. Too bad.
Two to one,
the motion carries.
But two is in the quorum.
That's fine, so long as I'm not the secretary.
We got a quorum.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We got a quorum of people. About the majority of the people here.
I'll vote yes.
Okay. What about secretary?
Ooh.
You want to be the secretary?
I guess so.
You're supposed to have the person who doesn't show up.
We could.
Well, then
that.
We should make Riley Anderson
the
secretary.
The secretary.
Riley Anderson.
Kind of handy to have them show up, Alex.
Secretary. I know, but it's always a punishment position.
I know that Letitia was given some training by Shanda.
Oh,
and was expecting to do that. If we want to postpone that until next month and see if she's willing, we can do that.
We'll just.
I think we should vote on this right now.
Okay.
I nominate Letitia for
Cox.
Letitia Cox. To be the secretary of the Planning and Zoning Committee.
I will second that.
Okay, it's been motioned and seconded to appoint Letitia Cox as the Planning Commission Secretary. All in favor?
Aye.
The motion carries.
Is that it?
Are there any other items?
Head of Snacks and Beverages.
I will take over the beverages.
We can discuss this, but it's not on the agenda.
Yeah, so you can discuss it all you want. It sucks because there's no action.
I will have this on the agenda for the next meeting.
All right. Make sure you get it on the agenda, Alex.
I do want you to know you would have my vote if we have to take it before the council.
Thanks for bringing the snacks.
As long as the snacks are not crunchy and we have to hear them
right. In
the recording.
Mm-hmm.
Mine don't crunch normally, do they?
No.
Soft delicious.
Except when you're
in your bag. Trying to open it. Yeah.
It's true. Sometimes
I'm pretty sure an individual can decline the nomination.
Yeah, it's a...
Oh, can they?
Yeah. It's acceptable to decline the nomination.
No, I'll stay vice chair.
Okay. Well, when you're nominated. You can't let it go to a vote.
Oh, gotcha. I was sworn in.
No, it all it says in our part of it is that we appoint them.
They're appointed.
Yeah, we're already sworn in.
Yeah, Brianna swore me this morning.
Yeah, I know.
I was sworn at yesterday.
She's good at it. All right, any other items?
Sure, you are the killer.
We're doing okay.
If I said yesterday, I missed this morning.
Tony, do you still want to talk about the fire, the urban wildland interface thing?
The only thing that I was more or less concerned about was the potential impending cost of the people in town. I understand that we don't get to decide the boundary lines for where their red zones are, but I know that we have an opportunity to put some of the other boundaries in there for the zones to make them a little bit less of an expense for the people in town. And I just know that with rising costs of everything, adding an additional insurance cost this year of, you know, even $100 on some parts could potentially be, you know,
so it was my understanding that insurance companies can't go off the municipality's maps, but only the state created map? Is that what they said at the meeting?
Okay. Yeah. And I think that's what we were discussing, right?
Insurance companies can, but our map will dictate who's in a higher risk and has to pay more money to this ridiculous program.
Right. So with that, we get to draw the zone lines to dictate who does and who doesn't pay more or less.
Right.
Right?
Well, to a certain extent.
Actually, the state map determines who pays it's right now it's a $25 fee.
So then what is the point of the municipality map?
It's, if we don't have one, then the state will be mad at us. And if there's a fire that starts in our town and it goes off of our town, we have to pay for all the
damage. We'll be responsible for the damage.
But if we draw a map, then we're not responsible for
that? That's correct. Yes, if we draw a map, we're good.
This all makes perfect.
It's the federal government, so just deal with
State government.
No, it's the state.
They saw California burn up. They're like, not here.
Yeah.
We don't want that. And
what it is that, I mean, you're assigned a certain zone. You can individually mitigate that. The town has to draw its boundaries. And then
you can come down in your zone, but you can't ever leave your zone.
That's correct. You can come down within your zone.
Well, you can come all the way down to the green level of that zone, but it is entirely dependent on where your property line meets the BLM and the public lands, because that's all considered red zone.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
According to Earl, our area really isn't that bad.
The map that Chris gave me.
Even your neck of the woods.
So it cuts through a fire, like the high fire cuts through a couple of houses.
The map that Chris gave me just the other day. The red zones are our red zones for the town.
I got a color pretty much.
Come and ask me.
I have to come into the office and talk to him for that.
And then I go ask Brianna to print one off for you.
Well, can I get one emailed to you?
Yeah.
That would be swell.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
It's not as bad as it could be. My worry is with more and more development going on, especially with like of land coming in and moving things in and creating more density on the south end of town. Although that's an open area for now, it won't always be.
Right.
And the goal would be to mitigate as much cost to the people here in town as possible. That's my goal with this, is protect everybody as much as possible, but mitigate the costs. There should be no reason why it's an expenditure to have insurance for fires that may or may not happen depending on where you live.
Yeah.
Okay. But I also wanted to bring up and talk about a potential committee for cleanup. If that's something that we are allowed to establish, or if that's something that we have to talk to the town council for establishment.
Town council.
Clean up what? Like
as far as like fire breaks and potential yard cleanups and taking maybe bi-yearly.
You mean
like
beautification committee?
That's what I was going to say.
But I think more or less not beautification.
She was on that. It was brutal.
I bet. People in town don't want to be told what to do.
Beautification is like an additional thing, and we're talking about getting to baseline.
Yeah. We're getting to a baseline.
Okay.
Before we start beautifying.
We are an administrative. We do what's in the ordinance and what town council tells us to do.
Right. Okay. Well, do we have an ordinance that will give us the ability to manage?
Not in our
book. We can advise them to create.
Yeah. Them to create.
Talk to town council.
Okay.
But the new ordinances have like weed abatement ordinances and things like that. It could force people to clean up.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get at. Is that something that we can do?
Chris.
It's there. It's already there. Getting them to do it is a whole different story. Okay.
Awesome.
All right. Any other things that we need to, that are pressing?
If you were to read one first.
Powers and
I
duties.
I have read all of Ground Rules, so I'll do Powers and Duties. The Ground Rules is actually really good.
I suffer from insomnia, so this is going to be real.
Powers and Duties is the long terms for the code book.
Yeah. It tells you what you can and can't do.
That's good to know. Yeah.
Easy peasy reading.
Yeah.
Like there's a couple things in that new one that we got. I don't know if that's the same
this
as that, but
because they didn't do that.
Answered like some questions I've had for a long time that were pretty chill and easy. Because I think they updated that in like October.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I will second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn this meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Meeting is adjourned.
I have a meeting question for Josie.